In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, amen. The church today reads for us the parable of the sower, and this marks the beginning of the month of Hathor in the Coptic calendar, and this is the month right before the month of Kiyak, and in the month of Kiyak is the month that we prepare for the incarnation of the Logos, of the Word of God. And before the church tells us about the incarnation, it wants us to prepare even more by the gospel. So you'll find all of the readings of the month of Hathor revolve around the gospel, the good news message. And this is what God wants to, or the church wants to communicate with us, or to us this morning. And you'll find in the parable that a sower goes out to sow the seeds. And as we read, Christ himself gave the interpretation of this parable and said that the seeds are the word of God. Now we know from other parts of scripture that he is entrusting all of the believers with the word of God and to spread the word of God. So we can say that it's in God's divine plan or his order to send out laborers into the harvest, or to send out laborers into the field to sow with him the seed of the gospel, or the good news. Sometimes people say that my relationship with God is just between me and God alone. But this can't be the case, because this is not how God intended for it to be. He wanted laborers to work with him in the field of the world. And we are all the laborers. It's not just the servants of the church, and it's not just the priests or the bishops, but we're all laborers of the field going out to work. Certainly, God, in his infinite might and glory, he could feed everyone, he could preach to everyone, and he could be the only one that sows all the seed. And actually, it would be much more effective than if we helped him. But he wants us to take the blessing of helping and serving this message of the gospel. And this we see clearly in the feeding of the 5,000. When Christ wanted to feed the 5,000, he blessed the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he gave it to the disciples to distribute to the people. The same thing works today, where the church gives us, the children of the church, the good news message and the Orthodox faith and the truth of the gospel, and expects us to go out to the rest of the world and to feed the rest of the world this good news. Lest anyone think that having somebody to help propagate this message and an intercessor, if we recall the story of Job, at the end of his life he had 3 friends. One of them was named Eliphaz the Temanite. And apparently him and all his 2 other friends, they gave bad counsel about God to Job, and this God didn't like. So after God and Job kind of came to an agreement, or came to an understanding, and everything was fine, and Job was restored what he had lost, he told this guy, Eliphaz, something that is very important. He says, "My wrath is aroused against you and your 2 friends, for you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has. Now therefore take yourselves 7 bulls and 7 rams, and go to my servant Job and offer up for yourselves a burnt offering. And my servant Job shall pray for you, for I will accept him, lest I deal with you according to your folly, because you have not spoken of me what is right, as my servant Job has." So he instructs him to go to who? To Job. He instructs him to go to Job, and then Job will pray for him. If everything was just about me and God, then he should have said, "Just pray to me and I will forgive you." But no, God wants to work through us. He wants to work through a certain select group of people or individuals, and this would be the church. So God wants us to share in this blessing of sowing the seed of the gospel. So I think today's gospel and the message for us today is there are some certain principles that Christ wants to remind us when we're sowing this seed of the gospel. So we'll speak about a couple of, or a few principles about sowing the gospel to the world. The first thing we notice, that there is only one sower in this parable, and there is only, they're spreading the same seed. There's only one sower, and there's only one type of seed. This doesn't mean that Christ, of course, here is the sower, but it doesn't mean that he's the only one sowing. But what this means is that Christ should be the central figure of our message. Christ should be the central figure of our message. When we're sharing Christianity, as the name bears, we should share the message of Christ. Sometimes, kiddo, we get distracted. And of course, you know, when I say the message of Christ, I'm speaking here about the whole economy of God's salvation. So we speak about the love of God the Father. We speak about the grace and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, and also the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. So we speak about this communion of the Trinity, and this is what we're preaching to people. This should be the center. Unfortunately, sometimes we get, you know, sidetracked, and we start to try to attract people to Christianity by maybe offering counseling, by maybe just simply encouraging people to do something or do something good and say, oh, because this person encouraged me, I will go and worship with them. Or sometimes we might use just rhetoric or, good argument skills to try to get people to come to Christ. Or sometimes we'll just use being friends with them to bring them to Christ. These are all good and fine, but unless Christ is the central message, then we're just wasting our time. Why? Because if I'm attracting a person because of my friendship, the day that something happens, and maybe we're not the best of friends, guess what? They're not going to come again. If I attract somebody by my rhetoric or my, you know, argument or debate skills, and one day somebody better than me can argue better than me, and they convince this person to go otherwise. But what is life-saving is the message of Christianity. So we need to keep that in mind. When we're sowing, we need to sow as the sower sowed, which was Christ. And when he spoke of himself and of his plan. So keep Christ as the central message when we share the gospel. And also, this was the same seed, which was the word of God. Also, we noticed that there was a lot of seed that must be scattered. In this parable, the sower sowed seed in every type of ground. And this can mean that this is the word of the gospel that should be spread to the whole world. Do we think that the word can be spread by just the servants of the church and by the priests? Absolutely not. How happy am I when somebody comes to me and says, you know, Avuna, I was talking to my friend at work and we were debating about this and this and this, and I have these questions. And I answer the question. Then he goes back to his friend and they start discussing it. He comes back, but he said this, this, and this. Okay, read this part of this book. And he goes and reads it, and he's right. So this is the work of actually all of us. There's no way that Abuna or the servants can do this all the time. But if every one of us did this to one other person, this would be something amazing. We would be much more fruitful than if one or a small group were working individually. So he spread seeds everywhere, and it needs everybody's participation. And that's why when St. Paul chose to describe the church and the gifts of the church in 1 Corinthians, he says, and there are diversities of activities, but in the same God who works all in all, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. So he's explaining to them there some have been given the gift of speech, some have given the gift of healing, some have been given the gift of teaching. So many different gifts, but the same Spirit, for what reason? For the profit of all. So we work as one body. There is no room for jealousy within the service of God. Why? Because there's just so much to do. There's so much to do. We don't need to be jealous of maybe somebody else's gift or somebody else's talent, because there's room for everybody. It's not like we only have this much room to work in, and if I do it, somebody else won't do it. No, we have the whole world to work in. So if somebody's busy serving the church, then why don't I take my services outside? I'll serve the message outside to the people around me in my community. So there's a lot of seed that needs to be thrown, and it needs all of our participation. The third thing we realize, or the principle we see, is that not all the soil produces fruit. And I think this is one of the most discouraging aspects of preaching or teaching the word, is that we can say, but people don't hear. I can sit here and argue with my friend at school for hours on out. At the end of the day, they don't hear. So this actually is the normal, and we shouldn't get surprised, because we see from this parable that the seed was thrown everywhere, and actually if you look at the four groups, only one of them was the one that bore fruit, right? So this actually says that most of the time, maybe they will not listen. But guess what? It's still worth it. It's still worth it. When we have bear some fruit, it's worth it. It's just like a farmer who is going to sow all of his ground, and he knows that the ground's not good except for this, you know, corner. This reminds me of when we were growing up in our backyard. We didn't have any pets, but we had one dog that we had, like a little part of the backyard was caged off for this dog. And that's where he lived. And he did all of his business in this cage. And then one year, we ended up giving him away. So we took the fence out, and Dad said, let me plant a garden. So he plants a garden where the dog used to stay, and then, you know, including some other area. And then, lo and behold, of course, the area that where the dog stayed, the fruits and vegetables were, like, amazing. I mean, we had dwera ainab, the size of the palm of my hand, and molokheya. And actually, the neighbors thought it was like we were growing something else. But no, it was, you know, because it was so nourishing. But because this had, the soil was good, it bore fruit. But maybe the rest of the yard wouldn't bear fruit like that. Does that mean we don't plant? No. We plant everywhere, and we know something will come out of it. So it's certainly worth it. So we shouldn't get discouraged. Share the gospel. If people don't hear, that's okay. Actually, when Christ shared his own message of salvation, did everybody listen? No, not everybody listened. So if they didn't do that for the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, who am I? You know, why am I any better? Why should I expect much anymore? So don't be discouraged. We can pray, and we should pray, that God will open the door to their heart in the appropriate time. Maybe I'm sowing the seed, but it's not time for him to bear fruit. Maybe 5 years later, somebody else will water the seed that I had planted in his mind and in his heart. Then after that, God will give the increase, and maybe he'll be somebody great, like St. Augustine, who maybe began his life a little on the rebellious side, to say the least. So the fourth principle we can learn about sowing the gospel is the day of harvest will certainly come. All of the servants of God who serve the church know this. Why? If you ask anybody, why do we serve? Because there is a great reward that will be given to those who serve the Lord. Again, it's like a farmer who is unsure that the ground is fit for, you know, sowing and for planting. If he says to himself, you know what, I think the ground is unfit for planting, I'm not going to plant anything this year. What does he forfeit? He forfeits the possibility of fruit being to come up from this land. So the same thing goes with us. If we forego an opportunity to share the gospel with somebody who has an eager heart and to the world, we forfeit the reward and the fruit that comes along with it. So I think all of us, if we owned a piece of land and we weren't sure if it would bear fruit, I think we would say, "Nagarrab hazzina, let's try," right? Because some fruit and some reward is better than what? Than no reward. So the harvest day will certainly come, but it takes patience. And that's why in the gospel it says about those about the good ground, that having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. Bear fruit with patience. If anybody has ever planted anything, you know it takes a lot of patience. It's kind of like fishing. You can sit there all day and wait and not catch anything. Unfortunately, when the guys went out, we went out with the high schoolers, we caught nothing for 4 hours, but maybe next time we will. Same thing with planting. You can plant something and you may not get any fruit, but you can try again, and then the land will become better over time, and then you'll finally get fruit. But it takes time, so be patient. The fifth principle of sowing the gospel is that the soil that produces fruit will multiply. The soil that produces fruit will multiply. And actually, nature tells us the same thing. Those of us who maybe are into planting, we know when we plant something and it dies, it dies. We don't get anything out of it. But when it lives and it produces fruit, or it produces maybe vegetables, it produces what inside? Seed, right? That actually those seed can fall into the ground, and if the ground is good, they will bear more fruit. So instead of having maybe one orange tree, after a while and it's planted, I might have two orange trees. This is exactly what happens in the forest. How do the plants grow in the forest? I mean, stuff falls, gets rooted, gets covered, and then another plant, you know, goes up. No one actually is out there planting, you know, seeds in the forest. So the fruit will multiply. The Lord Christ said in Matthew 10, he says, "Assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brother or sister or father or mother or wife or children or land for my sake and the gospel's who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time and in the age to come eternal life." So he says anybody who's left anything or sacrificed anything to serve me and for the gospel will receive 100-fold now in this time and in the age to come eternal life. So he's promising us a reward both here and in heaven. And I thought to myself, what is this reward here? Certainly it could mean maybe some earthly comfort. But I think maybe in God's mind, there's something far greater than just worldly comfort and things maybe that we want in the world. Although this might be the case, but I think his plan for us is far greater than here. So when he says that I will give you a reward 100-fold now in this time, is that when I, as a fruit, plant into someone else the word of the gospel, and that gospel, and that person, through his zeal, begins to plant other seeds in other people, I think there's a portion that maybe I would be rewarded for. So it's as if Christ is looking for, you know, a way to reward those who share his message, and that everyone that you had preached to, and that everybody they had preached to, you get a part of that reward. So you get a bit of that because you did this. So when he says that we will get a reward that will be multiplied here on earth, yes, it will be multiplied because now we have many more trees to bear fruit. And, you know, I can claim a share of that reward in heaven. And lastly, the last piece or principle that we can learn about sowing seed, as it's all about this year's harvest. It's all about this year's harvest. You never ask a farmer or whatever about last year. Last year was last year. Maybe I had a bad harvest. But this year, it's a new story. It's a new page. Let's try again. It's something else that I can do to the ground. So last year is history. So going from today, sometimes we might have these bad experiences with people that we shared the gospel with and said, you know, I'm not going to try anymore. But that was last year. If we recall St. Paul's letter to Philemon, it speaks about one of St. Paul's disciples, Philemon, who had a slave, his name was Onesimus, who was basically, he was a non-believer and a Gentile. While he was in his house, he served him. Then one day the slave ran away, went to Rome, and while he was in Rome, he encountered St. Paul, and St. Paul converted him to Christianity. And of course, in the Roman custom, it wasn't legal for St. Paul to keep this runaway slave, so he had to send him back to his master, who was Philemon, who was a believer. So if you look at this situation, so this letter was sent back with Onesimus back to Philemon, his master. And in this letter, it's one chapter in the New Testament, St. Paul is pleading with Philemon to accept him as a fellow servant, and now he will be profitable to you. So he wants him to accept him. So if we put ourselves in the shoes of Philemon, we can say that this person, I tried to serve him, and I'm sure maybe Philemon tried to convert him while he was in his house. I mean, he had a house church. So it's just like maybe somebody who comes to this church and he comes week after week after week, eventually somebody will be like, hey, why don't you get baptized? I see you here every day. So this guy was living in his house, right? And I'm sure maybe Philemon tried to convert him, but he didn't. But when he went to St. Paul, he converted and came back. So now if Philemon was with the same mentality, I tried before and it didn't work, off with him, whatever. Just I'll resell him. But no, he had a different vision. He said, okay, last year's harvest was last year. This year's harvest is different. So never get discouraged, as we said. Last year's harvest was last year. This year is this year. Maybe somebody that didn't hear last year will hear this year. So keep spreading the word that we might be rewarded both 160 and 30-fold here on earth and in the kingdom of heaven. To God be the glory, and to his church and to his word forever and ever. Amen.